In the few minutes that we have remaining, I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 64. We've been in this particular passage for the past several weeks on Wednesday night, and I want to switch gears in this psalm tonight as we consider the main theme of the first six verses and then the second main theme in verses 7 through verse 10. I want to read it again. It's a very short psalm, and we want to look tonight at the bow and arrow contest. And that's the theme here. Verse 1 says, "Hear my voice, O God, and my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy." We emphasized that over the past two Wednesdays, that the greatest battle that we have is not so much the enemy as it is fear of the enemy. And we've got to turn that over to the Lord. Verse 2, "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, 'Who shall see them?' They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep." Verse 7, "But," conjunction of contrast in the Hebrew there, "God shall shoot at them with an arrow." Notice, please, singular. And before, in verses 1 through 6, you see arrows, plural. But here, God shoots one arrow, and suddenly they shall be wounded. "So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. And in these few minutes, I pray that we might be able to unfold some thoughts from this passage that will be an encouragement to our hearts, even when we're down, even when it seems that we're the target of the enemy. Help us to realize that we have an able individual, an able God that steps up and defends us. And we give you praise and glory for that, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Two archery contests emerge in this passage of Scripture. That's what makes it so unique. It's what drew my attention in my own personal study in this particular psalm and my desire to share that with you. The preliminary event takes place in the first six verses between the wicked and with the righteous. And then the main event is between God and the enemy, the wicked, in verses 7 through 10. We don't see this much anymore, but they used to have these fights that would travel around the country, these boxing things, and they would have the preliminary event where they'd have a bunch of amateur boxers, and they would get in there and they'd fight it out, and then they would bring on the main event. All right, those were the two big names that were going to face each other, and we're going to fight it out, and people came for that. But they didn't mind watching for a couple of hours, watching these smaller fighters or lesser-known fighters fight it out. Well, when you look at this first group, the first six verses here, it seems that the battle is completely one-sided. You ever been in one of those kind of a game? I remember many, many years ago as a child watching the Grace Fellowship Church softball team playing out here on Field 5 against another team, and we were getting our hats handed to us. I mean, it was a blowout. And it seemed like all we could do was hit the ball to the other team. And we used to have an umpire. His name was Tony Wong. And I think he was from Japan. Very, very short fella, and he called the game by himself, and he would do behind the plate, and then when he would run out on the field and slide on his knees and make the calls at second base. It was a funny thing to watch, but that night, even the humor of Tony Wong could not overcome the defeat that Grace Fellowship Church softball was enduring that night, and it seemed completely one-sided, and guess what? It was. It was terrible. We couldn't do anything. Now, we've all been in those situations before, playing games or whatever. Usually, whenever we play games at our house, I'm on the losing end of the of the game. Oh, Dad, we got a new game for you. You'll get it really easy. And then I lose everything. And I hate the game from that point on. But that's just the way it is. I have a big L that I have stuck on my forehead when it comes to games. But here it looks like this archery contest is all one-sided. In this passage here, David says that they come privily. Their battle is secret. They surround him and they're firing their arrows, plural, at him. Kind of brings back the picture of medieval times whenever they would all get in rows and they would all fire and then they would retreat back as they set them. The next group would come up and they would fire again. And all the arrows would come flying in. That's not a very accurate way to do battle. Just you know, all kinds of arrows flying through the air. They may hit a target, they may not. But that's the picture here. David is under siege. And these arrows are just flying at him, and he cries out to God and says, "Hide me." Verse 2. And that's a play on what is going to follow. Hide me from what? The arrows. Hide me from the arrows, Lord. You ever felt like it seemed like it just everything is against you? Everything you face, all the different things that come your way, is just one trial after another. There are times and periods and seasons of life that it seems that way, and David was going through one of those. It may have been from his own family. He took a lot of arrows from his own kids. David took arrows from Saul, javelins thrown at him. All kinds of situations that David could have been in when this was written. We don't know for sure because he wrote this as a song. And he cries out to God and says, "Hide me, shelter me from the arrows that are coming in." He raises his voice, and this is the point of the first six verses. What do you do when all the arrows are coming in? Well, for some people, it's run as fast as you can, right? For other people, it's, "Lord, help me." And that's what we ought to be doing, because what does he do? David utters a prayer to his God to hide him, to shelter him, to protect him from the secret plots of the wicked and the fired words that were coming against him. Then he gives God an intelligence report, all right, about the enemy. Their tongues are finely honed, as sharp as a sword. They bend their bows to shoot the arrows of accusation, bitter words of reproach. Their attacks come unexpectedly from secret hideouts and without fear. In other words, they're using guerrilla warfare, all right? I used to, as a kid, I said, whenever they would, I'd hear it all the time. As a kid, I was growing up during the era of the Vietnam War. And they kept talking about a guerrilla warfare. And in my mind and heart, it was a bunch of guerrillas out in the jungle fighting against Americans over there. And I was a ding-dong. I didn't know any difference. But I thought it was guerrilla. It was years later, last year, that I figured out it wasn't guerrillas. It was guerrilla warfare. All right? That's hiding in the woods, all right? Not marching side by side against the enemy, but people all out there in hiding and then coming out, doing their work, and then disappearing back into the thing. That's the picture here. He gives an intelligence report to God. Does God need an intelligence report? But what was he doing? He was praying. "Lord, this is what I'm facing. This is what I'm dealing with. It's all right." And this is one of the great lessons, I think, of the first six verses. It's all right. God doesn't criticize his servant David for giving him an intelligence report that he didn't need. I just finished a book about General MacArthur. And it takes you through from Corregidor all the way up to the end of World War II. And the secret army that MacArthur put together all over the Pacific Rim. I mean, it was just amazing what he was able to do. He had lived in the Philippines for many, many years. He loved the Philippines. That's what he considered to be his home. And he got to know a lot of people during that time. Those same people joined with him as his intelligence on the ground in the Philippines. They were in Australia. They were in New Zealand. They were in Papua New Guinea. Go all the way through that. He had them all over the place, and they were reporting to him. He sent them radios by the thousands. They had them planted all through those islands, and they were reporting back to MacArthur. And over again, he said, that's what won a World War II in the Pacific. Our intelligence on the ground. We knew every place that the Japanese were going. We knew when they were going to fake. Whenever we knew we had already broken their code, and we knew what was going on. He said, intelligence won the war in the Pacific. David cries out and says, God, this is what they're doing. They're using guerrilla warfare. I don't know where they're going to come from next. They strike and they disappear. But notice, please, verse 6. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. Notice what he's saying there. They search out iniquities. They're trying to find new ways to corrupt themselves in the process. Now, what does that mean for the enemy if they're seeking ways to corrupt themselves and to seek to try to hurt you in the process? They're going to fail. They're going to fail because their way is corrupt. The Bible's already indicated that. And Lord willing, next time we're going to get into the master archer showing up. He's so good, he only needs one arrow. Boy, I wish I could shoot like that. When we grew up, Dad took archery lessons. He was a part of an archery club up at the Skyline. And Dad, in his closet today, is probably still there. He has two bows, and he has a bunch of arrows from that time period. Some of them are missing because Roger and I used them against squirrels out in the garden. We would put a plastic ball on the end and try to knock them out of the tree. We occasionally hit one. Usually we missed. But it was a lot of fun for us as kids. But Dad got pretty good at it, all right? But I don't think Dad ever got to the point where he only needed one arrow, all right? He only needed one. And that's what God needed against the enemies, all the enemies of David. He only needed one arrow. Now, what does that say about God? Who should you trust? Yep. When he goes on the offense, there's nobody that can stand against him. Nobody. No enemy of his children can stand up against God. Now that's an encouragement to me tonight. Amen? He only needs one. He doesn't need a whole quiver full. He said, oh, I missed on the first shot. That's not God. God hits the first time. And if we could just learn that as His children, I just need to trust God. Depend upon Him. Yes, I give the intelligence report, and they're using guerrilla tactics, and I don't know where they're going to come from next, but God's got them pinned because He just did one, and He nailed them. They were wounded immediately, is the text of that verse 7. They were wounded immediately. And so I want to encourage you tonight, spend some time in those verses of Scripture in Psalm 64. You will find such encouragement, especially in the times in which we live, that our God is great and our God is powerful. Our God is our defense and He's our offense, and He doesn't miss. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy and for Your power, and for the fact that You take care of us. Help us to learn to trust in Thee more. So easy to get discouraged when we see the enemy and we don't see the enemy because they're in hiding and they seek to destroy and to hurt Your work and individual lives. But Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be encouraged by the fact that nothing goes unseen by Thee. You know where every enemy is lurking, and all You need is one arrow. Help us to have our faith strengthened as a result of this psalm, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.